Let's begin on page Kuf Yud Gimel. We're in Siman Yud Ches. We are in the middle of Sif Katan Ches. Ches, right? It's Siman Ches. Sif Katan Ches. Vav on the bottom. On the bottom of the page Kuf Yud Gimel, Ois Vav. We learned in the Kitzur that you're not allowed to misspell Keneged Tziurim pictures. If you look down the opposite picture, it's going to be Mabalbal, it's going to confuse your mind. Lo Yispal Keneged Ezet Tziurim B'Toysviz Zelashoyne. Toysin Zachal Yomer. Nishalti Aloysin Shemitzirim B'Machzorim Tzuros Chayus Oifoysim Yofa Oysim. Toysin, according to Toysin, people when they put the pictures, they have these manuscripts. It was recently in the news, the manuscripts of the Mishneh Torah, right, all these pictures. Im yaf oisim v'chashavti, and I thought, the vaday lo yaf oisim shemitoch shemistaklim b'tzura salalu e'mechavdim libam l'shamayim. They're not concentrating. You're focusing on the artwork. You're not focusing on the words that it says. Miu im ein kan iser lo sasei lo saslo pesel ella b'choisim boilate. The only time there's a prohibition of making a pestle is only when it's embossed. If it's not embossed, there's nothing technically wrong of having pictures in a siddur. The Khan whom in Sevab Alma, all of his over just dyed, just colored, there's nothing technically wrong. So Pi Haloch it is mutter, but it's not proper. Because it's going to the Mbalbel, you're supposed to focus on the words, not to focus on the pictures. You should not put any pictures in your siddur in order not to confuse your kavana. If you want to have designs in the Beis HaKnesses, do not put opposite your face when you're davening. You shall put the designs, the beauty of the Beis HaKnesses, l'mala, above your head. And that way, when people are davening, they're not focusing on the picture. If they want to look at the picture, they're going to have to go pick up their head. And we're assuming that during davening, they're not going to do that. V'hainu l'mala migimul amos, shezeu koi masish, has to be above 3 amos, above the height of a person. V'shal shuv is priya. So then shall be mashanagu be'America. Let's sire. Al kois le beis haknesses demus kol hayud beis mazolois tle shor toyamim kosav tum tumim kosav deroiv apoyskim sviluhu de mazolos nagam beinam botos asurin because le sas kopesel chotumun asher bashamayim mimahal. So he wants to say that even anything that has to do with the zodiac, with the heavens, is also a prohibition in the Aseres Hadibros of don't make a pesel le sas kopesel chotumuna. Asher, anything that you see, bashamayim mimal. Everyone knows that in the newspapers, they don't put a picture of the sun in the weather, right? You don't put a picture of the full sun, the full ball of the sun is a problem. It's not mamish osur, but it's not ideal of making a pesel chol tmuna kol asher bashamayim mimal. You're not going to put anything that you see in the sky. You're allowed to make a picture of the earth, by the way, unless you want to make a picture of the earth. You want to make some designer picture to represent the earth. And you can do. Because the earth is the... What?
The earth is
Lamata. But the Loitzasa, Asher Bashmaim, that's only a creature. Okay, we have to... No, that's only... Okay, I take it back. I have to go look into the details. But you're not supposed to make a picture of anything that's in the Shemayim, and that's why the minhag is to make a partial representation of the sun, the corner that leave out a certain part of the sun. So he says in the Beis HaKnesses, they used to put on the ceiling the zodiac. It should not be done because that is a violation. Because of the Paiskim Sulu, the Mazos, Gam, Be'enam, Boltos, Asurim, it is Aser. Now here's an interesting Shiloh in Times Square. Everyone knows this. In Times Square, anyone ever go to Times Square? Mm-hmm. On the ceiling, there is a zodiac, the whole heavenly sphere. Everyone familiar with this?
No.
What?
Where did you see it?
I saw documentaries. If you go to the Times Square, not Times Square, I'm sorry, what am I saying? Grand Central Station, what am I saying? I'm sorry, what am I saying? I know that's what I meant. Grand Central Station, not Times. There you have.
It's inverted.
There you have the most massive, these screens and pretzels. Can't even walk there. So crowded. I don't know, every time I go there, it's like so darn, there's so many tourists there. But in Grand Central Station, on the ceiling, there is the whole heavenly sphere. problem is it's opposite. It's inverted. So there's a very big mystery. Why is it inverted? So they tell you two reasons. This is all they're going to tell you. Either because the painter made a mistake, right? He had the plan. So he looked at the plan and he did it the wrong way, right? Or it was done purposely because this is the way it looks from God's perspective, right? You've heard this.
Conversation.
But I have another answer.
Painter was dyslexic.
Okay, those are two. You hear this very often. These two answers, but there's another reason. Because just like when it comes to the son, he was Jewish. The painter was Jewish. He was a Talmud Chacham. And just like when it comes to the son, it's also to draw a picture of the son. Right? You read the Flappish Jewish Journal. It's the hottest issue. Right? You're not allowed to draw a picture of the son, so you have to only draw a partial picture of the son. If you draw the zodiac differently, inverted,
the Shinui,
so that's equivalent to writing a partial image of the sun. This is not mamish or tumuna asher bashamayim mimal, because it's not the way we see it. It's inverted. So this is a third reason, which you're not going to hear anywhere else, why in Grand Central Station the zodiac is inverted. The two common answers. And the third answer that you only heard here at the Kolo, to the kind what it says in the Gemara. Okay. Some of the opinion that is a heter, that if you do it in a public place, it's mutter. I mean, the newspaper is because everyone knows you're not coming to worship. It's a very interesting chiddush. So in the newspaper also, that's why it's not really usher to make a picture of the sun and the moon on the newspaper. It's only a hiddur not to do so. It's mutter. Mikol makom, in the Beis HaKnesses, this itself is a very powerful limud musar. In the Beis HaKnesses, there are higher standards. Mikol makom, the Beis HaKnesses usher kemashal kosa b'birka Yosef or prima gadim, because there are higher standards in the Beis HaKnesses. V'yesh chash shabiyem satfila yidif ne'inav el ha-mazolos. You can look at the mazolos, you're going to think things are not proper, and therefore we have a higher standard. L'chein yifat tzorch l'hasirim, you must remove them from the Beis HaKnesses. Ayin sham, l'chein b'mabit shakosav nir b'yenai di'af al-gav di'birabim leka chashada. The only reason why you're not allowed to go and draw pictures is because there's chashad, there is suspicion, and in a mokum rabim there is no suspicion, no one's going to accuse you b'rabim of worship over the Zohar. Mikol mokum So he says too that it's even that the time of higher standard is even some now. I mean, what? Mazolos? So he's saying what's found in America, he's saying is no good. He says to take it down. He doesn't like it. And he says another reason, forget about the Nechashai, because in the Beis HaKnesses, since you're davening, when you're davening, you may be misled to think that you should daven to the Mazolos. The Mazolos will assist, they'll intercede, they'll ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for some help, which is Apikursis. You only misspell to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're not misspelled to Mazolos. Tfeishu mokum tefila v'hodis v'shas, v'hu be'kinishto de'bina harda. There was a Beis HaKnesses in harda, to have a bay. And Rata, that's a statue. Atzelem the Musmelech and Arta Atzelem the Musmelech v'Havi alei Rav v'Havi alei v'Havi Eilu Rav Shmuel Masu, and Rav Shmuel entered the Beis HaKnesses and they davened there and they did not protest that there was a statue of the king. How could it be? Chosam Anusim Hayu B'Davar. Don't bring a raya that you're allowed to have in the Beis HaKnesses Tziurim. No, there they had no choice. It was beyond their control. Don't bring a raya B'Davar. V'Isi B'Igrois Seifrim. Kosav Shami Miksav Mehagoyin Rabbi Akiva Eger Levnei Kilasa Shelo Yitzares Beis HaKnesses B'Tzuras Balichai Mazolos V'Lotzur Tzitzim V'Rochim. So he says he told the Sibur, you're not allowed to make designs of Balichayim, animals, and Mazolos, but flowers, to have images of flowers in the wall is mutter. He told them, if you want to go put up pictures of flowers, as long as they are above the range of sight when you daven Shmon Esrei, it's mutter, because then you're not going to be looking at it unless you actually try to do so, and therefore it's mutter. Next,
have the glass windows, the
stained glass windows. So he's saying in Chacham, he's saying that it's not proper. That's exactly what he's saying. Not everything that you see in the Beis HaKnesses is proper. He's saying that it's not, over here the Rabbi Bruin is bringing the many mikaros that it's not proper to have the Beis HaKnesses suyurim of chayos, of animals, and of the mazolos. It should not be done. It should not be done. That's what he's saying. You find shvatim. You find many shuls have shvatim, and the shvatim, so the some of the shvatim, the symbol of some shvatim are animals. What?
Yeah, but even just as lions, the Aron always has lions.
Oh. So you're asking a question. You have a tzur of a lion on the Aron Kodesh. So it would seem that the lions on the Aron Kodesh are different. I hear what you're saying. You should know, but you should be. You're saying very good, because there are. We discussed this a few times, that there are many poskim that are very against the lions. It's very hard for them to be against it, because it's tradition. This is time honored tradition to have the lions on top of the Aron Kodesh, but there are definitely poskim that say we don't know where it comes from, and exactly it's not so simple. You know, let's have a pestle and a tumun and a tzura, and why is this mutter? Put that aside. Let's assume that the lions on the Aron are different. We're talking about putting other, assume you bring in an artist, he wants to draw designs on the windows, stained glass windows, and on the walls of animals, of deer and sheep and so on and so forth. So he's basically saying that it's not the proper thing to do, especially if you're going to be looking at it, if it's at eye level, you're going to be looking at it when you're davening.
That biblical scenes, I've seen shuls have paintings,
that's very problematic.
The coastal
is different. Coastal is not a problem, but you have pictures of Kriyas Yamsuf. You have pictures of the Arcade. Do you know what the Arcade look like? It's one thing, a very abstract rendering of these biblical scenes. Okay, so then but some of them are very detailed. The Imamish, they show the Kriyas Yamsuf. What's the movie? Ten Commandments. It's not such a good idea to look at the movie, because you get brainwashed and thinking, you know, that's not how it was. And that's certainly not the way it was. But it's pretty good, you know. Today they can do, Hollywood can do wonders. It's dangerous. It's very dangerous to play with the mind, to see these things, because you definitely get, you know, when something is abstract, it has potential to make a much greater impression upon you. It's not the way it was. Ten Commandments is not the way it was. We know that. But if you see the movie once a year, if you see it once a year, the movie, I've seen it. I've seen it at least more than once.
A picture is worth a thousand words.
So you say, on one end, yes, right, it's good. It makes a roshim.
You're teaching kids. You
can't teach kids abstract.
How can you play, you have a play, right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks to Moshe. How can you take it upon yourself to, I think... There used to be, I don't know the details, but it just sticks in my mind, there used to be a popular play of Mechiras Yosef.
Wow.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
Not now among us, it's brought down in Sfarim. No, I'm not talking about anything from Hollywood. I'm talking about in Chazal, by Hasidim, and brought down in Old Sfarim. And there was a Cherem. There was a cherem issued by Gedom. I'm talking about hundreds of years, before going back in like 200, 300 years, not to ever reenact, not to ever illustrate, to reenact the story of Mechiras Yosef in a play. Why? I don't know the details. I have to do more research to. But it must have something to do with this idea of, like, you can't. Really reenact it, because you don't know what it was, and you get misled to think this is it. It's not as deep as we think it is. I don't know, but this he's saying very big chumas. We always say here that we're only here to learn kulus, but over here he's being very machmir. He's telling me machmir that it's not a proper thing to base akness. Anyone has a plan to build a akness before you bring in your artist, you should bring in a very big place to make sure you don't violate any halacha. to make pictures of animals and mazolos and things that appear in the heavens on the walls of the Beis HaKnesses, especially in a place where it's in range of person's sight, because it can be distracting. Okay, let's go to the next paragraph. The im hu beis akom shechadonim meleim elilim or shehu choyle umoin umunach beis acholim shel akom v'yesham tmunas harbe. Let's say a person goes to a college, a Catholic college, and there are pictures all over the place, crucifixes, and you want to daven mincha. So what do you do? It's not so simple. Let's say a person is in a Catholic hospital, and wherever you turn, there's another crucifix, or there's a picture, things like that, and you want to daven. You want to make a minyan for mincha. You want to daven privately in your room. What do? You got a problem. V'yesham tmunas harbe ayin be shumas hadeshen puvak tzas brama dim iev shloim lespal b'chutz lespal l'gsham be'ezek heren zavis. If you're in a room, okay, in a hospital, and in the hospital it's a Catholic hospital, and they have a tzelim, and they have pictures, they have some, and you can't, you're not the baal habos to go take it down, they'll kill you, take it down. So you go to the corner and you daven in the corner, you just don't look at the picture. Don't be so firm and walk out of the room and go down in the hallway or go down somewhere else. You can daven in your room, just turn to the side. Even though there's something there in the room, it's mutter, doesn't contaminate the room, only a reach, an odor. It's good to close your eyes and not look at these things when you're down. Halacha test. Lo yigak, lo yifak. Two different expressions. What do these words mean? What is yigak? Gihok is haynu mashlopam adam moitzi migufay lupev neficha machmas savay burp. You're not allowed to burp
belch.
That's what it's called.
Yigak is belching.
Belching during Shmoneh Esrei. Now forget about Shmoneh Esrei. You see this all the time. Birchas Hamazon. You know, that's a very big problem. People, they eat, and then they bench. So in the eating, they shmooze. Then when it comes to benching, all of a sudden, in the middle of benching, they start belching and burping. It's disgusting. So wait a few minutes. You wait a few minutes until you calm down, until you can bench like a mensch. To bench like a mensch. Okay, don't go right from lunch into mincha. It's not a good idea because you're going to be belching during mincha. It's osur. Shkireach hamachal l'ficha b'gmach masavoy. Kireach hamachal shachal due to the rare part of the flavor of the food that you ate is coming up. Yesham, some say the hainu shapayish. Some say that what it means is, what does it mean yikhak? It means yawn. Because your body, your limbs are heavy. Oh, you stretch. Don't stretch in the middle of Shmoneh Esrei. It's not a time for yoga when you're doing Shmoneh Esrei. Don't stretch your body. It's very upiok. That is what is pikanu shapuches shapshe peseach mal koich of your jaws. Yawn. Don't yawn. It's not so boring during Shmoneh Esrei. Kadam Shalit Elishan. Ishama Mishiyanach. The person gets up from sleeping. So here it says, it is forbidden. It is severely forbidden to belch, burp, stretch, and yawn during the Shmoneh Esrei. These are drum shootim admo. You don't need a kitzur to tell you this. V'im nitztarach lekach machmas on. So you have no choice. So what should you do? You should try to control yourself the most you can. Yeniach yedo people your hand on your mouth. Shlo Yisrael pesichot should not be seen. V'chein asal lo yikin alad a spit during Shmoneh Esrei. It's very disrespectful. V'im bo lo yirak b'such piv. If you have no choice, you have a lot of saliva, and it's causing you pain, and you cannot concentrate. So the best thing is take out a handkerchief instead of spinning. Very interesting halacha. Instead of spinning, it's better to take out a handkerchief and to remove the saliva from your mouth into the handkerchief. That is proper. The most, it's disgusting in your eyes to do such a thing. You don't want to remove the what's in your mouth. You have to spit. So then the next best thing is to turn to the left. If you have no choice but to spit, spit to the left. The Shekhinah is on the right. So spit to the left. You can't go turn around backwards. Ideally, you turn your neck to the left backwards. If you can't turn backwards, then at least to the left. If you can't do that, then at least turn to the right. Then you're allowed to the right. Period. Next halach. Let's say there is a louse crawling on your arm and it's disturbing you. yimashmesh bebegod of lasira, so you can remove it. You can remove it from the esrei. Should the spatel the kavanas, because if you're not going to remove it, you're going to be disturbing not only of the contrary and the words of the davening. Avolo yasir biyado. Do not remove the laos with your fingers. V'im nishmat hatalis mev. Let's say now this happens. This is important halacha. Let's say you are davening the shemona esrei and your talis falls off. Are you allowed to put it back on in the middle of the Shmona Esrei? So if the talus does not completely fall off, it only falls off 95%, but there is some little strand still holding on, as long as part is still attached, you can put it back on. But let's say the entire talus falls off in the middle of Shmona Esrei, there's nothing left. You're not allowed to put it back on. Now this is a very complicated halacha, because remember this, when Lon Hilchos said this, we discussed the shaila in great detail at great length. If your talis, let's say it's not during Shmona Esrei, and your talis falls off entirely, are you required to make a new bracha? So what did we learn? May Iker Hadin, yes. If your talis falls off 95%, but it's still 5% attached to you, you do not need to make a new bracha. If you take it off with kavana, you also do not need to make a new bracha. But if your talis falls off by accident, without your intent entirely, me'ikar hadin, you are required to make a new bracha. Halacha l'maisa, do people make a new bracha? No. Why not? It's not really clear why. The similar reason given why is because we're wearing a talis katan. Since most of us, bizman hazeh, are wearing a talis katan, so the talis katan protects you. That when your talis gadol falls off, it's not considered that you're no longer without a talis, because you're still wearing under your garments the talis katan. So now when you put your talis gadol back off, you don't need to make a new bracha. Many people do rely upon this. However, there are many people who don't wear a talis katan. It's not right. They don't wear a talis katan. It's not a very good idea, but there are people who are not wearing the talis katan and are wearing the talis gadol, and the talis gadol falls off in the middle of davening. They really, it would appear, would be required to make a new bracha if the entire talis falls off, according to all opinions.
You go to the bathroom.
No, you don't. You take it off. Anytime you take your talis off with kavana, you're not mechuyev to make a new bracha.
Wearing your talis katan?
No, not because you wear a talis katan, because it's not called a hefsek, because your intent is to put it back on. You're not mesiach das. You're not mesiach das. You're not mesiach. You're not removing your mind from your talis. You're only taking it off temporarily to go to the Beis Akisei. Your mind is still on the mitzvah, and therefore it's not, the bracha is not, it does not expire. But if you're not paying attention and the talis falls off, then we can't say that your intent was there to continue to grandfather in the bracha. We have no choice but to say the bracha has expired, because you have not been paying attention, and now you need to make a new bracha when you put on your talis gadol. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. A shogeg, the bracha has expired. When you take off your talis deliberately, what you're basically saying is, I've made a bracha, and the bracha is active. I don't want the bracha to expire. When I take off my talis, I'm going to be putting it back on. So you're making a conscious decision, the bracha is not going to expire, because you made that decision. If the talis falls off by accident, you have not made that decision, we have no choice. Halacha tells you the bracha has expired, because you didn't want it to continue. That's the way halacha works. This halacha works. I tell you, halacha l'maisa, we're going to tell the skata and we'll marry Mekel. Yeah?
Question, at a bris.
Yeah?
You deliberately take off your talis, you put it away.
And now you get a kibbutz, and you put on talis, yes, you're mechuyev to make a new bracha. Unless, there are different opinions in this matter. Some say yes, some say the only reason why you're putting on a talis is for the honor of the tzibur. You're not putting on l'shem mitzvah. There are different opinions. Some will make a bracha, some will not make a bracha. It's the same issue when you daven for the amud. You go to a shul, you daven mincha, and you take a talis. Do you make a bracha before you put on the talis? You have the first of all, this halacha, you only make a bracha on your own talis. You don't make a bracha on a talis shu'ula. If you go to a bris and someone takes off their talis to give you to put on in order to get a kibbutz, your sandik oimed, or kriyas hashem, and someone gave you their private talis, they didn't give you a shul talis. They gave you their private talis. You will not make a bracha. You do not make a bracha on a talis shu'ula, on a borrowed talis. But let's say you take a shul talis, or you take your own talis. I was by a bris once, and the person, they called him up with kriyas hashem. And he was holding, he thought he's out of here, you know, he has to go to work. He was holding his talis in his hands, and all of a sudden, kriyas hashem. And he was shocked.
Usually,
so
he needed the person beforehand.
Rabbi Talmud Chacham. And he so he needed a talus. And this is like in the hall. There were no shul talisos lying around. So he was holding his talus. So he took out his talus and he made a bracha.
Baruch, no,
he didn't have time for that. He didn't have time. They were holding up the olam. He just put on the talus. He made a bracha with atifa, and he took the kibbut. It was his own talus. You make a bracha, and especially you put it on l'shem mitzvah's talus. There are opinions that will tell you that you don't make a bracha because I'm not wearing it now l'shem mitzvah's tzitzis. I'm wearing it for the kavod of the tzibur. When you daven, we go shul talus. What's the rule? You go to a shul, even if you're not a paying member. You'd never given the shul one penny your whole life. Most shuls are very generous. You're coming here to daven. No, it's your problem. You haven't given a donation. That's your problem. But as long as you're here, you're one of us. And all of the property of the shul is given to you for whatever you need. So if you're taking a talus in the shul, it's your talus for the davening. We're giving it to you. Therefore, me'ikarai, then you should make a bracha. Yes, should. When you daven for the amud in a shul, and you use the talus of the shul, may ikar hadin, you should make a bracha. The minhag by most of us is not to make a bracha. Most, not all. I've seen it done very often where people make a bracha on a talus in the Beis HaKnesses, but when they daven mincha, that mincha. But most people do not make a bracha because they follow the opinion that the reason why I'm wearing the talus now is not because I want to be mekayim the mitzvah of tzitzis. I'm only doing it out of respect. That it's a kavod, it's an honor for the group of the shul that the leader be dressed in a prayer shul when he leads the group. It's not l'shem mitzvah tzitzis. Now this ties into Shmoneh Esrei. Let's follow the Ikar Hadin. You're in Shmoneh Esrei. Your talus falls off. What are you mechuyev to do when you put on the talus? You're mechuyev to make a bracha. Right? That's the Ikar Hadin. That's really what you're supposed to do. We don't do it, whatever reason. Now the talus falls off in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei. If you were to put on the talus, you would have to make a bracha. Making a bracha, you're not going to make a bracha on the talus, you're not going to make a bracha in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei. So therefore, you have no choice but not to put on the talus. Okay? It would appear that, what about, I don't know the answer to this question. I really know the answer. That what about Bizman Hazeh? We're going to read a little bit more. Maybe you can come on. What he says in a few moments, we're very embarrassed. You're in a shul, you're very embarrassed. But Bizman Hazeh, most of us who wear a talus katan, if their talus falls off entirely, will not make another bracha when they put on their talus katan. Right? You see, I've seen that by Bnei Torah. Their talus falls off entirely, and they put back the talus, and they don't make a new bracha, because they're wearing a talus katan underneath their garments. So if this happens during Shemoneh Esrei, it shouldn't be any, there is no hefsek. Because since, even if this would happen not during Shemoneh Esrei, I would not make a new bracha. So now when it happens during Shemoneh Esrei, it's no different. I wouldn't make a bracha, so it should not be considered a hefsek, l'chayra. They should be allowed to put the talus back on in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei. On the other hand, maybe not. Because since really me'ikar hadin, they should make a bracha, and this that we do not make a bracha is a very good stretch. It's a stretch of halacha. At least for the halacha of putting a talus on in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei, we're machmir, and we don't allow you to put your talus back on in the middle of the Shemoneh Esrei. Because really you should make a bracha. If you really should make a bracha, really it's a hefsek. We don't. So if we don't, okay, we don't, but it's still really hefsek. It's really hefsek. You should not be able to put the talus on in the middle of the shemesh. Let's see further. What he says, he goes a little bit further, and he says something interesting. Aval im nishmal la tas melov yochal achzir afilo lafu by aval im lafu kula ina rishala sad moim mishon avi hefsek. Okay, we'll see. We have to see in the bottom in a moment. The im nafal sefer lufanov ala oretz. What happens if you're middle of Shemoneh Esrei, and this happens all the time, right? And the sitter falls on the floor in front of you. No one notices. Or one of the tzetlach, the sheets, right? The table falls on the floor. It's disturbing. It's a bezoyin. So there are different types of people. Sometimes it doesn't bother them. No, there's a sitter on the floor. It's not the right thing. It's on the floor. But is the world going to come to an end? No. Am I in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei? Yes. Am I allowed to be mafsik? No. So daven your Shemoneh Esrei, and when they finish your Shemoneh Esrei, you'll pick up the sitter. There are people who are very delicate. It just bothers them. So I think it's a very nice thing. There's a certain sensitivity. It really bothers them to no end, and they cannot concentrate on their Shemona Esrei until that Siddur is picked up. So they have a choice. Either they go, no, which is not necessarily the best thing to do, because that's even a greater hefsek, or you yourself remove what you're davening, just go pick up the Siddur, put it back on the table, and then go back to where you came from and continue your Shemona Esrei. So it depends on who you are. Only in a situation where you can't keep a clear mind, you're allowed to leave your place and pick it up. Now, next he goes on to say, is also until you take your three steps backwards. That's a different sugi, which is not giving us the details. But everything that is also is anything you're not allowed to do is also until you take your three steps back. You're not allowed to be mafsik. Anything you're not allowed to do, after you come, to, even when you're in the middle of a lokai neshama, after you finish the bracha, as long as you have not yet taken three steps back, all the things that you're not allowed to, that we have listed, that you're not allowed to yawn, and you're not allowed to belch, and you're not allowed to stretch, and you're not allowed to spit, and you're not allowed to put your talus back on. All of these things that you're not allowed to do is also, even when you finish the bracha, until you take your three steps back. Now, when it comes to answering Yehesh Me'raba, that's a different story, because once you finish bracha, and you say Yil Ratzon, then you are allowed to answer once, even before you take your three steps back. Okay, so when it comes to responding to the communal prayer, that's different. When it comes to doing things you're allowed to do, that is a different story. Now, one other thing I just do remember saying, it's not over here, so I must have seen this in the Mishnah Berurah or in one of the other sermons I used to prepare, is that there are poskim that are very lenient when it comes to a talus falling off if you are embarrassed. If you're in a shul and you're embarrassed, truth is, we always mention, no one's really looking. It's just an imagination in your mind. You feel embarrassed. I'm here in the shul, my talus falls off. I'm embarrassed. Middle of Shemona Esrei, and everyone's diving. Then you can be mekel. You're allowed to put your talus back on in the middle of the Shemona Esrei. It's only when you're not embarrassed and it falls off entirely where ideally you should not put it back on. Okay, there's something else I wanted to say but I don't remember, so we'll stop over here. We'll pick this up near Hashem tomorrow. Take a little break.
Yeah.